Welcome to Countdown to World Youth Day. EWTN Radio's exclusive World Youth Day coverage, live from Rio, with Elena Rodriguez and Tom Price.
Good morning, everyone, from EWTN headquarters here in Irondale, Alabama. This is Adrenaline Central. EWTN's very first broadcast, radio or TV, is Little Old Radio. We're delighted to be with you. Tom Price here at our studios, bringing in Elena Rodriguez live in Rio. Good morning.
A very good morning to you, Tom, and all our dear, esteemed EWTN radio listeners around the world. We are broadcasting live from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, site of the 2013 World Youth Day, a very historic World Youth Day we are getting ready for because it is the first international trip of newly elected Pope Francis. Of course, we all remember his election back this year in March 13th.
Sure.
And we all remember that glorious moment when we first saw that white smoke coming out of the smokestack, and it was very clearly white and very abundant.
Yeah.
And how that just made the world catch on fire. And Pope Francis has just done a remarkable job of just catching everybody's attention, and he is just he knows how to warm the crowd. And so we are all just waiting for his arrival here in Rio. This will be the first World Youth Day of Pope Francis, as well as his first international trip.
Well, you know, we were talking last week with Jim Pinto about the praise that this Pope is getting from some unexpected quarters. People like, you know, just everybody out there, not even necessarily Catholic. We heard from Elton John, who said that this Pope really speaks to him, whether it's his humility or his simplicity or whatever it is. They see him as the real deal.
Not your usual suspect saying
yeah,
that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, this is going to be a wonderful week of broadcasts. And as we were saying earlier, World Youth Day is not a day. It has grown into basically a full week of events, right?
That's correct. And it is very appropriate because the definition per se of the term in Italian, of course, World Youth Day was first originated in Rome, so its roots are very Italian, and it means a work day. It also means journey. The world journeys and the youth journeys throughout these several days. So even though we call it in English World Youth Day, it is several days, but it also means a journey, and it means you have to work. You have to work to get something in return, and definitely what you put in, God multiplies 100-fold, 200-fold, 300-fold, how many times fold, and you get so many blessings back in comparison to what you put in. But that is the meaning of World Youth Day, and that goes back to its origins.
Sure does. You know, we have heard from so many priests and religious that their vocation really took off at a World Youth Day, whether it was Denver or Toronto or Sydney or Madrid or anywhere else. It's really a vocation builder, isn't it?
It definitely is. And we have now been able to see the effects of World Youth Day in terms of vocations. First, we have the generation of priests from Pope John Paul II and Blessed Pope John Paul II, whom we all love dearly. And we just remember those glorious World Youth Days starting back in 1985 in Rome, and of course, all through Rome 2000. And that all those World Youth Days generated lots of priestly vocations and vocations to religious life, both for the male orders and the female orders. But then we have also been able to notice recently the vocations generated, the generation of Pope Benedict and the Pope Benedict priest. Sometimes you meet young priests and they say, well, I'm a Pope Benedict priest, ordained during the papacy of Pope Benedict. So we are all looking forward to being able to see the generation of Pope Francis starting with this World Youth Day. And it's just a glorious moment in the church, but also a glorious moment in the history of the world to be able to sit back and see how the youth just catches on fire and their enthusiasm becomes contagious, and that God is working in each of their hearts and their souls. It's just absolutely remarkable.
You're listening to Countdown to World Youth Day with Elena Rodriguez live from Rio de Janeiro here on EWTN Radio. You know, the title of this little show that we do here is called Countdown to World Youth Day. When do events actually begin today?
Well, the Pope is on his way right now, and will land later today here in Rio de Janeiro. And so there are, of course, he is the head of a state, Vatican City State. So he has his diplomatic welcome ceremony with the local government. With the local government, of course, and then once we get through that diplomatic head of state protocol and officials welcoming ceremonies, then we go on, we start the festival with the youth. And of course, that's when all the public events are going to start. And I can tell you, for instance, that the first mass with the Pope in Copacabana, they're expecting 1.2 million people already. That's what I heard in the news this morning.
Wow.
To come to Copacabana Beach. And of course, Copacabana being, you know, everybody remembers the song, so
sure.
It is a very familiar word to us. And, you know, being here in Rio is just very funny, because then you come across all these words that you know, but you actually get to see where they come from. And I'm sure this word will mean Ipanema a lot to you, Tom, because of the song. So
absolutely.
The girl from Ipanema. Well, that is an area of the city that's really very close to where we are located right now. We are the media center is an incredible facility. It's about the size of a football field, but it's a tent. It's huge. It has an auditorium, and it has different sections, and we are here located. EWTN Radio has, we have our own booth here. We have, it's a sectioned, a little segment here with a door, so we can close the door for a broadcast for both English and Spanish, and it's just a wonderful location, but it's a historic location as well. It's right next to the Copacabana Fort, the Fort of Copacabana. So all these emblematic places, and of course there's the Christ the Redeemer Monument overlooking the city,
yeah.
And all these emblematic places are here and will be witness to this great gathering of the youth of the world, World Youth Day Rio 2013, here live through EWTN Radio.
So that actually right now you are the girl from Ipanema.
I am exactly the girl from Ipanema, but we have a surprise in our next segment. We're going to introduce another girl from Ipanema, and I'm going to reserve the name right now for
the time being.
But she is sitting next to me.
Before we go to our break, I want to ask you a little about our official motto for this year, which is go and make disciples of all nations. And that's not just something that someone came up with, right?
No, that is St. Matthew 28:19. That is scriptural, and it is very, very fitting. Every World Youth Day has a theme, and if we go back, for instance, to World Youth Day Denver 1993, which is very familiar to our listeners from the United States, the theme back then was St. John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And so on, every World Youth Day has its own theme. It's for the reflection, and the papal discourses, the speeches from the Pope and the addresses and his messages are all going to touch on that in one way or another. And yes, Rio is go and make disciples of all nations, which is very fitting because the youth of the world are literally gathered here in Rio and will be tuning in with all the new electronic and media devices and online and cell phone apps. Will be tuning in from around the world and the social networkers, and it's just magnificent because it's not just the amount that is expected here in Rio, which is about 2 million, give or take, roughly, but it's all the other youth from around the world, and even not just youth, all family members and parents and older people. And I haven't heard about a group of old people here yet in Rio. I'm waiting just to find out about that. But I do remember distinctly the last World Youth Day in Madrid 2011. There was a big gathering of senior citizens that showed up at World Youth Day, and they just said, hey, we may not look young, but we feel young, and we're coming, and we're here.
Wow.
And so they participated just like the young people did. So it is not limited to age. It's just youth in spirit, and that is absolutely remarkable to go and make disciples of all nations.
Well, very cool. Well, we'll be talking about not only all the people coming, but the connectivity and the big outreach that World Youth Day is having. And we'll do that right after our quick break. It is Countdown to World Youth Day, live from Rio here on EWTN.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, your sins are forgiven, there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's two or three little sins that you're carrying, there's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Let's return to EWTN Radio's exclusive World Youth Day coverage, live from Rio.
Welcome back. It is 11 minutes after the hour, and we are here talking with Elena Rodriguez, who is live from Rio. You're at the International Broadcast Center, right?
That's correct, and it is a wonderful facility. There are roughly 5,500 journalists accredited from around
wow.
the world.
Wow.
And they're all at one point or another using this facility. Most of them are out there, but a lot of the visual media, TV and radio, who need to be hooked up to the internet signal and who need to have a video feed to be able to narrate their broadcast, they're here. And so this place is coming to life. We've been here for a couple of days preparing, and so we have seen this catch on fire. The crowds are really rolling in as far as journalists, and they're all sharing stories. Hey, where are you from, and may I interview you? So you see this phenomenon that it's usually very rare. Journalists never interview journalists. They go out and interview the man on the street, the woman on the street. But here, like, all bets are off. So journalists are interviewing journalists, and that's a wonderful way of sharing. And we get a press media kit. And in the introduction, it explains to journalists who are coming from around the world, from secular media as well, that World Youth Day is really a historic event. It is a gathering of the world here in Rio. And it says, make sure that you let yourself enjoy this. Don't be so focused on your journalistic coverage. Of course, you are here to work, but let yourself go and enjoy this. And feel free to participate, if you can, as a pilgrim. So I thought that was a wonderful welcome. And
yeah.
They are very well organized.
Gee, Elena, those words sound very familiar to me. Isn't that what I told you about 3 days ago? I said, don't forget, you're also a pilgrim. You're also a Catholic. So you need to enjoy this and take part in it spiritually, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Exactly.
All
and you
right.
know what? It was very funny because you told me that, and then I went home and I talked to my parents. I've been very much in communication with them, and, you know, they told me the same thing. So
see?
I've heard it three times.
Now, you mentioned...
Three is definitely a scriptural number.
Well, very good. Very good. Yeah, you mentioned earlier that there were already, even though it's only Monday, there's already probably 300 journalists there at the IBC who are working away, right?
That is correct, and even more now. At this point, we have had a couple of press conferences, which are just introductory and explaining what the facilities are and the services that they offer, and welcoming. Right now, the Archbishop Orani of Rio is having his press conference with the journalists, and so just welcoming messages and explanations, and of course there's opportunities for question and answer, and so all that is taking place at this point. And
very good.
Well, it's just a remarkable facility,
and you've got one of those journalists right there with you, right?
Exactly. And let me introduce to you the other girl from Ipanema. Janetta Mello, Editor-in-Chief, thank you very much. I'm blanking out. I'm so sorry. We haven't had much sleep here. Editor-in-Chief of the Register, the National Catholic Register, who is part of the EWTN family as of about a couple of years now.
Just a year, and I'm so happy to be here. It's really fun to be here with you, Elena, and we are the girls from Ipanema right now.
Definitely. And we are celebrating your first anniversary with the Register.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
Congratulations.
Right, thank you. Thanks. It's great. It's great to celebrate this way in Rio de Janeiro. So I'm very happy to be here.
We are delighted to have you here. And of course, we work with you every week on our weekly radio show, Register
Sure.
Radio, airing every Friday and then anchoring over the weekend. And so week in and week out, we get to work together, but not from the same location. So we are blessed. I'm personally blessed to have you right here. And I know Tom and all of the crew at EWTN Radio is also very, very happy to hear your voice.
I'm thrilled. It's good to be in the studio with you.
Hey, Jeanette, tell us a little about the logistics of actually getting to Rio. I mean, I know it's a long flight. You left out of, was it Miami? Is that where you left
no,
from?
No, I live in Denver, so I flew from Denver to Atlanta, and I waited a couple hours to see the EWTN crew there in Atlanta. And then we left. It was probably about 10 o'clock in the evening, and we had a 9.5-hour flight down to Rio. So we got here Saturday morning, and we were all in one piece and feeling good. And, of course, we slept little on the plane, but enough to be okay in the morning. And we hit the ground running, actually. We got started, came to the media center almost right away to scope things out.
You know, the Register is so good at what it does, print and online. You know, the print
Thanks,
will
Tom.
Give you the print. Well, it's true. The print gives you the depth. The online gives you the immediacy. Have you been lining up interviews since you've been in town?
Well, I got off to a little bit of a slow start because technologically my internet wasn't working. But I did blog this morning, and we've got a great blog lineup. We're calling our blog World Youth Day Witnesses, and it's right there on the Register's website, ncregister.com. And so, yeah, we've got a couple of blogs up already this morning. Justin Bell and myself, we both blogged and got a couple pictures up there, put it on Facebook, and we'll be blogging and tweeting, and we will have a couple of stories in our news section as well. So we're off to a good start.
Well, that's excellent. Elena, before the break, I mentioned connectivity and of all the people, not only the people that are there in Rio, but everybody else checking out World Youth Day as we're doing right now. Maybe you can talk a little bit about our exclusive website that is gearing up, EWTN.com/WYD or /Rio 2013.
Oh, that is correct, Tom, and we have that great website with some surprises this time. But speaking of connectivity, I need to this is a surprise, but connectivity with God is the number one element that we need to make this broadcast possible. And Father John Paul Zeller, our newly consecrated priest,
our baby priest,
our
yes.
baby priest just walked in the room. He's taking some shots with his iPad for the Friars website. He just walked in, and he, as we were going back and forth talking to you and Jeanette, he was blessing us.
Wow.
So I would like to ask you, Father, to give us, and Father doesn't have a headset, but he can, our listeners can hear him, to give us a quick blessing.
Hello, Tom, and all of our EWTN family out there listening to our coverage at World Youth Day, Rio de Janeiro. It's such an awesome privilege to be here in Rio. And I thought Elena said would be a great thing to give a blessing to you all so that you too can play a part in this. Know that your prayers and your sacrifices mean so much for the young people and all of us media here who are attending. One of the things I should mention, there is a man who, Father Tom Rosica, who is head of Salt and Light Media. He just told us that we really won over a whole lot of media out there, especially with the papal conclave, and they all came here, and they're coming over,
wow.
And they're really interested in what we're doing, and they're really interested in the gospel. So it's really interesting the dynamic that we're seeing. So I just thought that I'd just throw that word of encouragement to you back in Irondale.
Thank you.
The words that we're hearing here are very positive on the ground.
Thank you.
So I'll give you all a blessing, and I'll bless all the equipment here that we're using here on the radio so that we know that our feeds and all of our equipment have the Lord's blessing and protection. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
With your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and on all this equipment and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Well, how about that, Elena? A pop-up appearance.
Wonderful. Yes, definitely. And we are so blessed. Our group is made up of 12 people. Thank you so much, Father. I also have to say that Father gave this blessing while on his knees. So how's that for personal witness?
Wow, awesome.
And connectivity with God. We are traveling with 12. It's 12 altogether.
That's right.
Like as the apostles, the same number. And out of those 12, 3 are priests.
That's right.
Father Mark Mary is with us. Father Miguel Marie is with us, and then Father John Paul, of course, who was just with us on the air, giving us the blessing for the equipment and for all of our listeners. So,
quite a few heads were turning as we walked around on Saturday. There weren't a lot of visitors here yet, and at least World Youth Day people, and man, heads were turning as these priests walked down Copacabana Beach in their full habits, and it was quite comical, but I don't know that Rio knew at that moment what was about to descend upon them this week.
You know, that we have heard that time and time again of people, for example, at World Youth Day in Sydney. They didn't really know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have family in Australia. They were saying, well, we didn't really know what was coming. But when it was all over with, the city was not a shambles. It was not a wreck.
No.
We didn't have to, you know, spend millions of dollars just for cleanup. Everything went so well, and the witness of the people on the streets of Sydney was just fantastic.
Absolutely. And you will also notice that in every World Youth Day, when you tune in to the secular media, they'll always comment something as to that effect. And I remember in previous World Youth Days checking out those secular media, and the journalists are very impressed with the way that the crowds respect each other. Everybody's making way for each other. Everybody's happy. Nobody's pushing. You know, usually when you get a huge crowd and you have like a rock concert, people are beginning to push. Sometimes there's mobs. Sometimes there's regretfully dead people even.
Yeah.
Or just walked up or broken bones. This is nothing like that.
This is entirely
the opposite. And we have already been able to experience that.
Sure. I mean, people are walking off the street and asking Father Mark to take a picture with them, and they don't know he's a celebrity on EWTN. You know, they're just walking up to him because he's in a habit, and they want a picture, and it's really a beautiful thing because you see what already the witness of faith is doing in the city. So,
and that's a great walking lesson. It is a walking lesson, and they can show, of course, their love for God, but also they can talk about what it means to be Franciscan friar. Why is the habit brown? Why are you wearing that? Why?
Oh, yeah.
It's so hot. They get all these questions like, aren't you hot under that habit?
Yeah.
You know, they offer it as a sacrifice. It's so definitely it is a chance to witness. And also when I've even experienced that a little bit in the 2 days, the little time that I've been here, walking around with an EWTN t-shirt or an EWTN hat. And so people ask me what that is, and some people recognize that. They walk up to you, and it is just remarkable because you get to talk about God and your mission here and how God has called you here. And then, of course, make sure you tune in to our EWTN coverage, and you get a chance to also send them to the website. And speaking of the website, which is what's your original question, Tom, we've gone around in a good circle. We first spoke of connectivity with God, but we also have to talk about connectivity with the world and the new electronic media.
Sure.
And EWTN website is a remarkable resource, EWTN.com. And we have a page specially and specifically dedicated to World Youth Day. It's EWTN.com/WYD. And when you get there, you will be able to have the latest news regarding our coverage of World Youth Day, and the messages coming from the Pope will also be posted there. So in case you miss them, or in case you want to read his homilies again, his speeches, you can go there and check that out as well. But we have a new surprise this year, which is remarkable. It's wonderful. And that is World Youth Day 360.
Oh, yes.
And
I
yes,
know
go
that
ahead,
is well. That is very exciting. I have seen the demo. You've seen the demo, Elena. We know just how cool this really is to be able to check out the 360 coverage, and that basically your mouse becomes a joystick, so that you can, you're not only looking at what's going on, but you can move around. You can go up, down, zoom in, go behind, you know, the normal point of view. You just have to see it to know what we're talking about here. So, I mean, as soon as we can get that coverage on the website, I know it will bless many people, right?
It is pretty much, it is a blessing and with the new electronic media, and it is pretty much like you are inside the crowd and you look around, only you're not there. And Tom, you've used a wonderful phrase, which means you can actually go to Rio without needing a passport.
Well, I wish I could take credit for that phrase, but somebody else came up with it. And before I let you go, first of all, Jeanette, thank you for jumping in on our coverage this morning.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I hope to be on again later in the week and tell you what the Register's up to.
The sooner the better. I know we want to have you on a regular basis. Elena, I want to remind everybody, our website, EWTN.com/WYD. And I want to give a little hat tip here to Jeff Hahn and our online team. We've got people in Rio working on it. We've got people here in Irondale who are updating things almost hourly, so that the latest information, the most information, you're going to get it right here on EWTN.com and everything that we're doing. We do it all for the Lord, right, Elena?
Yes, we do, and it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing. I can't say it enough to be here and to do this for the Lord.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have more live for you from Rio World Youth Day 2013 here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
The EWTN Book of the Month for July is Pope Francis, the Pope from the End of the Earth. Thomas J. Crogwell offers an inside look at the life and election of Pope Francis, complete with illustrations and commentary. It's available for purchase through the EWTN Religious Catalog website, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or you can call 1-800-854-6316.
I don't have money to travel, but I can travel the world on EWTN, and I do. God bless each of you. I love traveling the world on EWTN.
If you have a comment about our programming, we'd love to hear from you, too. Call 205-795-5773 or send us an email to radio@EWTN.com. Thank you very much for listening. God bless you.
Let's return to EWTN Radio's exclusive World Youth Day coverage, live from Rio.
Hey, welcome back. Tom Price here at our studios in Alabama, going now to World Youth Day live in Rio, and Elena.
This is a wonderful location to be at, as we are expecting the arrival of Pope Francis. Pope Francis coming to World Youth Day in Rio for his first World Youth Day, and also his first official papal trip.
Wow.
Of his papacy. It is incredible. And, of course, there are millions of people gathering together here in Rio, and both Jeanette DeMello from the Register and myself have been able to talk to just a few of them. But it's been remarkable how we have been able to be part of that enthusiasm. And so yesterday, I'm going to tell you a little bit of what we did, the group did, because we have split into different groups to be able to get all the work done. And then we have run into people. We actually talked to people and gathered some interviews, which we would like to share with you at this time.
Sure.
And the first interview that I would like to share with you is from one, believe it or not, at the top of the Christ Redeemer Monument, which is emblematic to the city of Rio and, of course, all of Brazil. I ran into a good friend, Justin Bell, blogger from the Register. And so he saw my EWTN hat, and we have worked together. We've never met each other. We've worked together on radio shows, on Register Radio. But he saw my EWTN hat and came running, and he said, "Have you seen Jeanette DeMello?" And I said, "Oh, my goodness, yes, I have." And so, of course, I have to tell Jeanette. Jeanette was not at the time with me, but they are working together here.
Justin's one of our correspondents, and he'll be writing both news and blogs. He already posted a blog, I think, last night or this morning. He arrived yesterday, and he told me he went directly from the airport to Corcovado, where Christ the Redeemer is. So he hit the ground running, and he's a great guy. I hope everyone follows his coverage at the Register.
And so we were able to catch a little conversation with him, which I'd like to play back for all of our listeners at this time. Here's our first technological problem. Here we go. We're gonna solve it right on the air. Don't panic, people. Here we go.
And I've been a correspondent with the Register since 2007. So I'm here this week doing some blogging and probably doing a couple stories too as well. So, but I'm also primarily here with working with the Deaf Apostolate, which is one of the groups of the Archdiocese of Boston. And the Deaf Apostolate, the deaf community group that's going this time, is made up from people from the Boston area, but also some Californians, a couple Canadians, and a girl from Michigan. So we're all here together.
So it's an international group, by all means.
Yeah, well, when you throw in Canada there, yeah, we can call it international, you know, but absolutely.
And so what special provisions do you have to make from the planning standpoint to be able to accommodate the group, to be able to go to all the different places so they can enjoy it as well as the rest of us who can hear can enjoy it?
That's a great question, and I'm learning all about just the to my degree as a hearing person. I'm learning about what deaf Catholics, basically how they participate in our faith. And so we have two professional interpreters with our group. And we have some other people who are hearing who also do some interpretation as needed. And, you know, I was at Mass yesterday, and this was my first Mass where it was primarily for a deaf audience, a deaf community. And it's interesting because the Eucharistic ministers, they are signing Body of Christ and Blood of Christ with their hands and then distributing Holy Communion. So it's an extra step that we wouldn't realize as a hearing person that we can just vocally say that. So that's just one experience that I've learned about. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we're here as part of the bigger group of the Archdiocese of Boston, so it's about 160 of us. And but I'm definitely learning what their experience is like to a degree.
Well, one thing is for sure, they share the common language of faith.
Yeah, and actually, we're here, you know, as you've been hearing people, we're at the Christ the Redeemer statue, and kind of an interesting scene up there maybe about 45 minutes ago was that there were some Venezuelan deaf people that met up with our group of deaf people. And so they had an interaction, communication. And, you know, there's different signing systems. Most of our group is American Sign Language, whereas the Venezuelans had a different signing system. So they're working through that different signing system, but I think they really shared a bond there, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, great. So, no, we just got here today, and we were fortunate to get tickets up here to the Christ the Redeemer statue, and then right after that, we're checking into our hotels and see how the week goes, you know?
Are you going to be at the different locations where the Pope is going to be showing up?
I believe so. I mean, we're doing some visits these next couple days before the official World Youth Day events start, but I'm pretty sure that we'll be at the catechesis sessions and then the big events as well. I mean, everywhere else the regular pilgrims will go, they should have interpreters or closed captioning. And, it should be really exciting to see what happens this week.
Do they have any kind of apps on their cell phones that help them to overcome any hearing barriers?
Well, it's like with us, what we're facing for our cell phones, and that is, you know, everyone has different providers. I don't think most people are bringing a cell phone, in our group at least, to communicate that way. To answer your question, I don't know. But I think when we're here, I think one of the challenges, media or no media, is to try to be in the present moment and realize we're not going to be able to record everything. But if we can be at the present moment, we're going to have those memories from years to come. So that's kind of what I'm looking to do as well. So,
and also as part of the pilgrim package, we're all getting a little booklet, a little notebook to be able to journal.
Yes. Yeah, no, I've often thought, you know, I see almost three levels of media here. You see people with their cameras and their phones and stuff like that. It's kind of like the consumer level. And then, of course, we have our Catholic media. And then we have some big media, too, in the sense of the big wide market. There's an NBC news crew following some of the Boston people. But, you know, I always think about just the power of the notebook and your pen, maybe grabbing a couple still pictures here and there, because if we're, there's no way we can capture this experience completely for the people back home. And I think if we concentrate too much on, I got to get this moment or this moment or that moment, then we lose out, you know? So at least the way I take it is like, okay, and I think the Holy Spirit provides those moments, you know, just things to grab and be able to talk about and share that. But I agree with you, that notebook, journaling, still shots are a great way to go. And not everyone has to have a picture for everything, you know?
And then, of course, everybody can share with everybody else. So
yeah, that's it. And then, I mean, you're important here too with radio. We want to paint a visual picture about what we're experiencing. You know, I'm here with the deaf community, but of course, we have blind Catholics, and the whole visual aspect for them is in their mind's eye. So yeah, they're sharing and everything like that. But I think a challenge I have to face myself is: do we have, find that time for silent prayer? Do we find that time to dig deep? What, even as media people, even as leaders and chaperones, you know, the Lord's going to have something in store for us this week as well. So we have to find it and be open to it.
Well, we're here on the Christ Redeemer statue, speaking to Justin Bell, blogger for The Register, who has also been on our radio show, Register Radio, a few days after the very sorrowful bombing at the Boston Marathon, and we had you on for our show. Have you experienced any kind of, was there more requests for coming on to World Youth Day as part of your group after the Boston bombings? Did you notice any difference in that respect?
I wouldn't know that. I think the group I'm with is made up of, I think, about 11 different groups, 9 parishes, and I'm pretty sure that planning, yes, and I'm pretty sure that planning happened a while back. I don't know if there's a correlation, but one thing that's pretty cool is that, you know, a lot of groups have different T-shirts and so forth. The Boston group has a kind of like a light jacket, a rain jacket almost, that says Boston Catholic Strong, because the big motto after the marathon bombing was Boston Strong, so they've adapted that to Boston Catholic Strong, and using actually the marathon colors, the blue, primarily blue, and then some yellow lettering. So there is that tie-in to that. But I don't know if there's a correlation of people coming afterwards or not.
And there has been spiritual preparation prior to getting on the airplane, of course.
Getting on the, I'm sorry.
Before coming to Rio, there has been a lot of spiritual preparation, not just logistics and
yes,
organization. So how does that play a role, you think, in making the most of being here in Rio once you get here?
Right. You know, I interviewed Father Matt Williams, who's the director of the One Office for the Archdiocese of Boston. That's the Office of the New Evangelization. This was a Register story I wrote about the preparation different groups are going to go. And I asked him that question, what's ways we can spiritually prepare? And he mentioned, you know, it's all centered on the Eucharist, adoration. He mentioned confession. He mentioned fasting. And I asked him, too, though, what about the person who's maybe at, I don't want to say entry level, but maybe as more of a beginning level of their faith.
Sure.
And, you know, it's, we have to meet people where they're at, and just to, I think, kind of to be open. But, you know, we can't take for granted the spiritual preparation for something like this, before, during, and after as well.
Justin, is this your first World Youth Day?
No, actually, this is my second. I went to Toronto in 2002, about 11 years ago, and I've been thinking about what I want to blog about, and that's taking that experience. I have that context of that experience. We were there for the Days of the Diocese called Missionary Week, and this one is more of a working trip for me. So it is interesting to compare those experiences in my mind. You know, I think the it was great. When I went before, kind of revealing my age a little bit, I think I was 26. I was definitely like a young adult pilgrim. We slept on floors. It was a very, you know, kind of God provided and a wonderful experience. This one, with the size of our group, it's very organized. You know, when we have people that have scouted out the area before, there are tour guides we have. So yeah, it's a compare and contrast, but definitely, you know, every World Youth Day has something unique and memorable for everyone involved.
And of course, that was two Holy Fathers ago in such a small amount of years.
Yeah.
So how do you see the new generation of Pope Francis, his first World Youth Day, making an impact on the young people as compared to John Paul II?
Great question. I think, of course, I mean, this is unprecedented. in March we had, you know, or I think it was, I guess, February when Pope Benedict resigned. And, of course, there's a great excitement for Pope Francis. But I think we have to also have to remember that through the prudence, the wisdom of Pope Benedict, I mean, we didn't know if he was going to be able to make it medically, as we found out about some of his medical conditions. So through that decision, it opened the way for the Holy Spirit to work that Pope Francis was elected Pope. And, of course, there was a great excitement with that. First, I believe, first Pope from South America. And this is his return. This is his return to his home continent, to a country very close to where he's from. So there's a big excitement there, I think, especially with the South Americans, Central Americans, the Latino people. But not only that, but primarily, though, that, you know, that's essentially exciting for them. But I'm excited, too. I think he's going to mix things up. I think he's going to say some things that are going to get our attention, that we have to be missionaries. And, yeah, it's going to be amazing. And there's a great excitement with the Latino people.
Justin, thank you very much. We know you have to go join your group. God bless you in your work. And we have definitely a huge radio audience praying for the Archdiocese of Boston. So please take that message back
with
you.
We appreciate that. And thanks, Elena, so much for the interview. And God bless you this week, too. And hope to see you again.
That was Justin Bell, blogger with the National Catholic Register here in Rio on top of Corcovado, the mountain that holds the Christ the Redeemer statue, which is very emblematic to Brazil.
So you were actually up there.
I was actually up there, and it's wonderful because it was full of World Youth Day people, so enthusiastic, singing in their own languages, holding up their flags. It was so colorful. But I was not the only one there. A big group of all of us from EWTN, our crew of 12, went at different times.
Wow.
And Jeanette, you were there at a different time than I was.
Yes, I was there just a little bit earlier, so I missed Justin. I didn't see him, and I didn't see you up there. But it was, it was cloudy as we went up there, and we were praying. I was with Pepe Alonso, and we were praying that the clouds broke, and he prayed to his guardian angel, and sure enough, the clouds broke as soon as we got up there, and we filmed, and I was there, you know, getting pictures and writing for the Register. And, you know, I wrote a blog this morning or yesterday called Guests in Rio, and I was talking about us being in Rio. You know, we're guests, but it occurred to me Saturday night when I was still frustrated about my internet not working and all of this, and I just started praying, and I read something in Magnificat, and it said, don't miss the guest because of the labor. I'm paraphrasing, but it said something about not missing the guest because of the labor. And, of course, it was referring to Martha and Mary, which was the scripture yesterday for the gospel. And I just realized that the real guest that's here, that's coming to World Youth Day, you know, we're waiting for Pope Francis. But Pope Francis would be the first to tell us that the real guest is Christ.
That's right.
And that Christ the Redeemer, the person welcoming all of us to Rio at the top of Corcovado Mountain, is with his arms open wide and his heart exposed. He is the real guest, and he is the one who also welcomes us as guests into his embrace. So I think that's going to be a huge focus of this week, is just making Christ the main part of World Youth Day.
Jeanette, you mentioned earlier, you were talking about Father Tom Rosica of Salt and Light, who we've worked with many times in the past. There was a time when he spoke, I believe it was right after Madrid, when he said, you know, the festivities begin and there's much, you know, gladness and joy and et cetera, but there is a real mood change at the Via Crucis, the Friday night stations of the cross, and that's when the importance of why everybody is there really starts to sink in, and there is a definite mood swing. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. There's the depth that comes when you really enter the liturgical aspects of World Youth Day, because it pulls you into this way of the cross, which any pilgrimage is a way of the cross, and that's exactly what needs to happen. It culminates, the World Youth Day culminates with a vigil, where we just wait with the Lord for Sunday morning,
yes,
for the day of the resurrection. And it all begins on, I believe it's Friday, with the Way of the Cross.
Yeah.
And I was walking along the beach, and there were some people rehearsing at the stations where the Way of the Cross is going to be here at Copacabana Beach. The stations look like they're designed to be right there in Jerusalem. I mean,
really?
That's what the design looks like.
Wow.
They weren't completely finished. I think they're a little worried it might rain at parts of this week, so they'll finish it the final day. But that's what it looked like. But, Tom, you're exactly right. There's a depth that comes. Right now, it's kind of a big concert. It's a big festival.
Yeah.
Some people have said it's like a Catholic Woodstock or something like that, you know? And it's on the beach, too. So, you know, it's a little crazy. But you're right. There is a depth that comes. And we were, I was filming, I was just helping with the crew yesterday, with the Hispanic crew here with Pepe Alonso. And he was recording some stand-up, and I see this flag, you know, just going by with a girl running along the beach, and it said Jesus. The flag said Jesus.
Wow.
It was so beautiful because, you know, she just kept running back and forth along the beach. And it's still a beach. I mean, there's beach volleyball, there's paddleball, there's people surfing and that kind of thing. So she was witnessing already. And it's just a beautiful sight.
You know, go right ahead, Elena.
Oh, I was just going to say that World Youth Day, the structure of World Youth Day is always so very similar to the Paschal Triduum, if I may make that comparison, because we start with the Way of the Cross on Friday, and then we have the vigil as well on Saturday evening into very late Saturday night, and then we have what you could compare to the Mass of Resurrection Sunday morning with the Pope, when the Pope confirms all of the young people in their faith, and we all together pray the creed with the successor of Peter. So the structure of World Youth Day is very much like the structure of the Paschal Triduum. And not only that, but World Youth Day always starts that year. It doesn't really start like the day that we think it starts, when the Pope arrives to the city, in this case Rio, but it starts the Palm Sunday with the first message going out from the Holy Father to the world. Of course, at that point in Palm Sunday, he was in the Vatican, but saying, "I, young people of the
That's
world,
right.
I await you in Rio. I'm waiting for you. Be there."
Right. That was kind of the assurance that he was going, and that he wanted the world to be there with him. And you know, Pope Francis is so interesting. Whenever you go to Rome, they're always chanting. You know, it was Giovanni Paolo, now it's Papa Francesco, you know.
Yeah.
But he'll tell people, you should be chanting Jesus,
yeah,
you know. And I can't wait to hear what he says when all of these people are chanting his name, just how he responds. I'm filled with expectation of how he's going to respond to these people. And one other thing is, there are so many people here from Argentina. I have seen flags all over the place, youth from Argentina. So that's going to be a remarkable kind of homecoming for Pope Francis.
You know, before we let you go here, Jenna, maybe you can speak to this. We have heard some rumors that World Youth Day attendance would be down this year.
Yeah.
Have you heard any of that?
Yes, I have, especially from the United States. I think the Register had done a story, I believe. It was up this morning on our website, ncregister.com, and it was about social media. But in that story, the USCCB was talking about how there are usually about 29,000 youth registered by that point in time, which was just a week ago, and there were only 9,000 registered from the U.S. So it was a small group of people compared to the past years. But I think that people from South America are probably going to make up for, for what may be lacking from the U.S. But at the same time, I've also ran into U.S. groups that registered here. So so I think there's going to be a surprising show of of people from the United States.
Does everybody register that comes to World Youth Day, or do people just show up?
There are a lot of people who do show up. I think, you know how Americans are, we often do register for things. But I think
that's
a lot
not
of
the culture around the world. World Youth Day I went to, we just showed up, my family and I.
Well,
you know,
a lot of people have, and I think they are going to do that here. They were expecting, I think in Madrid, there were 700,000 people who showed up for the vigil and the mass. I expect there'll be just as many here, or
sure,
not more. So it's really, but I think even from the U.S., there are people who are just going to show up. It's going to be remarkable. I think they're predicting over 1.5 million people. I've heard much higher estimates for the actual Mass on Sunday.
Well, this has been basically a register hour. This has been great.
Yes. I wanted to get one last thing in. I do have an excellent lineup of register bloggers, and I just wanted to name them so that people can follow these people who are going to be blogging at the register. We've named the blog World Youth Day Witnesses, and we have Bishop James Conley of Lincoln, Nebraska.
Wow.
He's been to 5 World Youth Days, so he'll be blogging for us. We have Father Matt Gamber. Who will be? He's a Jesuit. He's blogging. He lives in Tampa, Florida. He's leading a group of about 50 students from a Jesuit school down there.
Uh-huh.
Tim Watkins is a film producer. He did the documentary The Blood and the Rose, which is going to be showing, I think, 4 times here during World Youth Day. He's going to be blogging for us and capturing some video and pictures. 2 register correspondents will be writing news and blogging, Chris Kudalis from Detroit area, and Justin Bell from Boston, who you heard from a little earlier, and then me. I'm also blogging. So I really hope that that people will follow us at the register, and I'll talk to you guys later in the week for sure, but it's been a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's just been a real delight, and you add so much to EWTN's coverage. Not only on what we're doing today and online, but also on our radio program, Register Radio. It's just been a delight to work with you.
It's been a lot of fun, Tom. Thanks.
Yes, indeed.
And we are blessed with your presence, Jeanette. I know we already said goodbye, but I have one quick question that I must ask.
Okay.
You. Because you are based in Denver, and Denver had its World Youth Day 20 years ago, exactly.
That's right.
What is the effect of World Youth Day on a city 20 years after?
Oh, my gosh. I was not at World Youth Day in 93 in Denver, but the effects are tremendous. We have a brand new seminary that opened about a little over 10 years ago. I think many of the seminarians there, especially at the beginning, probably met their vocation or the seeds were planted there in Denver. There are so many stories, and it's really a center of the new evangelization, and I think a lot of that was spun from World Youth Day in 93.
Uh-huh.
It's a huge place. In fact, our chancery in Denver is called the John Paul II Center of New Evangelization, so there's a direct impact on a city from World Youth Day.
The more reason to keep Rio in our prayers, all of our EWTN radio listeners around the world, for lots of plentiful spiritual fruits and blessings on the city and of Rio and the whole country of
Absolutely.
Brazil.
Especially vocations. I think there's going to be a tremendous opportunity for vocations, and Denver witnessed that. We actually have a story on the Register site about vocations, some of which were in Denver. They're having a vocations fair here with, I think, 150 communities that are represented. Every day they'll have this vocations fair. So they're really trying to plant the seeds for consecrated vocations.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Jeanette. Elena, in our closing moments here, I want to ask you about something very close to your heart.
Yes.
The weather.
Tell
us about what the weather is going to be like there this week.
Well, definitely. And we have been praying because the weather forecast was calling for rain on Sunday and Saturday, which is out in the field of faith. And that would have been a mud bath, pretty much. And the last
time checked. You're talking about this coming Saturday and Sunday.
This coming Saturday and Sunday for the vigil of World Youth Day and the closing Mass.
Yeah.
And so, but now the forecast is looking sunny. So please keep your prayers up.
Really?
Well, we have a sunny day today, and pretty much the temperature is fluctuating between 70 degrees overnight low and then 80 degrees daytime high.
Oh, man.
But we're going to have rain Tuesday and Wednesday, so hopefully that doesn't damp the effect on the crowds coming up to the Mass in Copacabana Beach with the Holy Father, which of course is a very much outdoor event, and they're expecting about 1.2 million there on Wednesday. But then Thursday, also a chance of rain, but then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday so far are looking sunny. So please keep your prayers up for good weather.
We sure will. Thank you, Elena. Thanks for all that you're doing there, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
very good. Looking forward to that. And, of course, we'll be back on the air tomorrow.
Very good. Want to remind everybody to check out EWTN.com/WYD. I'll give you that again, EWTN.com/WYD. Also, don't forget our next broadcast here on the radio will be tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that will be our coverage of the welcoming ceremony. So check that out tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. I'm Tom Price. We'll see you later today here on Open Line with our host, John Martinoni. Have a great day. God bless.